Hello and welcome to episode 103 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and the musing.
Dun dun dun! This is Fat Asian and I play Protector of Menoth, Minions, Scorn, and Convergence of Ceres.
Dun dun dun! This is Chad and
Legion.
I play Trolls. Dun dun dun!
I feel like I'm being made fun of.
I don't
know. No, you're supposed to go dun 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 dun!
Dun 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 dun! This is Keith, and I play the Crix.
Did you say you have the clap?
It's effectively the same thing. This is Josh, I play Mercs.
This is Grump, and I play Circle of Roboros.
terrible.
So legit.
Beep, beep, boop. Beep, beep, boop.
I feel like it's the next Mega Man spinoff is Circle of Roboros.
We need to get whatever they call their symbol redesigned.
Into Gears.
Celtic.
Like a worm in a circle with, instead of spines, it has gears.
I believe the next Mega Man spinoff is going to be called Mighty Number 9.
Wait.
That is correct.
Someone do that.
That is correct.
Someone redo the Circle of Ouroboros symbol, but make it Circle of Roboros. Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Is Mega Man's gun part of his arm like Samus's?
You're welcome, Josh.
Yes. It's called Buster, isn't it?
It's the Mega Buster.
The Mega Buster.
Wait, doesn't he hold a gun?
No, it's just his arm.
It's just his arm.
Makes it really hard to masturbate.
Samus is a woman inside of a cool space suit.
Oh, I screwed it up.
Yeah, you did screw it up.
But her arm.
You did screw it up. I noticed you screwed it up.
Oh, did he say?
I wasn't paying any attention.
I met Lance. Help me. Lance.
He's got a line that he likes to deliver.
Is Mega Man's gun part of his arm like Metroid's is?
Right.
That's what it's
yeah, it's so too late now.
The actual line is... Is Metroid's gun on his suit or part of his arm?
Right. No, yes, I know. I've heard you say it before. I didn't realize that that's where we're going.
I almost got Chad to leap across a table and murder me.
Once.
That would have been like Christmas, Josh. We could have watched that.
I straight-faced it for long enough to actually...
I was actually playing Metroid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of amazing.
Threw the controller across the room and just... destroyed him.
I love the Phoenix Down story from the other day.
It's kind of a shot out of left field, but okay.
Video games.
I understood where it was coming from, which is concerning because it came from the mind of Crump. So yeah. I'm pretty sure I have to go and...
So you're on the same path he
drink
is.
Acid or something like that to just...
I recommend right. Lobotomy.
We have a full episode today, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk a little bit, and this is a sort of a continuing topic that we've touched upon all year in slightly different aspects. 2013 in the evolving meta, specifically things that we've seen that we haven't seen before, and things that we used to see that we don't see anymore.
And
things that we might have expected to see that we didn't see because of the way it exists as well.
How do you adjust to 2013? Because I really think 2014... it's probably going to be a lot like 2013, so adjust now.
I hope not.
I hope so.
I think it is.
But I think you're right.
I hope there are twice as many objectives.
As many objectives, twice as many control points.
10
control points, 27 control points to win. Did you bring your abacus?
No.
Well, I did because I played it.
Bobbliness always brings his abacus.
His abacus.
That's...
Or Emorvana.
That's true. He does have an abacus for Emorvana.
No, an abacus.
Just to track her health?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got it in 5 chunk segments, and it goes from green to yellow to red.
To black. The last hit
point. Yeah, the last hit point is black.
The 16th bead
is
black.
The one that may never move.
He's like, this one I don't touch.
Yeah.
That is a very good way to keep track of
health. No, it is. It is. And it's really infuriating when you're, like, across the table from him and you're just like...
Tick, tick, tick,
tick. Tick down, tick right back up before I ever get a chance to go. Sweet. Sweet.
I just spent 15 of my health. Look, I'm at 1. Now I'm at 9.
And now I'm at 15. And now you're going to try and assassinate me. Oh, I'm back up to 15, so after you clear the infantry to get a line to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Screw her.
I played her for the first time last night.
Yeah? Did you lose?
I did not.
She's broken. Did you try really hard, but you still won anyway?
She's incredibly broke. Crump? Well, I haven't seen.
When I walked over to the table, he did tell me, wow, I would have straight lost this game if it wasn't for Scales of Fate. I've rolled like six snake eyes.
No, it was
I turned
more than
into
that.
Gold.
Fox was watching it, and there were, because I was playing against him, obviously, but I rolled an obscenely high number of snake eyes, I think like 11.
Did you have Cal Baylock in your list?
Yes. And I couldn't re-roll that mother effers because he's not friendly faction. But like, yeah. I was just like, if this were any other caster in the game, it doesn't matter what faction, if this were any other caster, I guess Calandra on her feet turn. If this were any other caster, I'd be effed. So.
God damn it.
So at any rate.
So anyway, 2013, the big changes are, I feel like the people that come across the table have a big advantage over the people that don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
I agree with that.
That's fair.
It's not fair.
Got to be mobile. Faster is better.
You have to be mobile, and you cannot... they kind of killed brick armies.
Really?
So I understand why you think that, but I don't agree completely.
Why not?
So you're, I'm assuming your contention, and correct me, obviously, if I'm wrong, is that there are there are a number of split zone scenarios in which you can score by dominating your, like, friendly zone with your caster,
mm-hmm.
and you don't actually have to go engage, and the bricks have a hard time in those particular scenarios because they can only really maneuver into one zone at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those are there, though? There's
but,
three?
Doesn't matter.
There may be a couple more. But the thing is, like, you're still fine for all the other scenarios, in my opinion.
The other thing is, maybe it just requires you to think about your brick a little different, and it requires some tweaks in your list design. So, for example, if we're playing a Madrak brick, maybe we make it a little less bricky, and we take 18 points out of the brick and put two units of gators into range out into the other zone, because they're very self-sufficient. They can test really well. I mean, and they can range way out past Madrak, and you still have a lot of points left in your list to build a pretty effective brick. It's not an ultra brick. It'll still be pretty strong, though.
It's like a half straw, half brick house.
Yeah, I'm just saying it may require you to divide or to design modules into your list that can range out and be self-sufficient.
I mean, that brick specifically is very inflexible. So I'm not sure that I buy it for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe other bricks are different.
Yeah, like Xerxes.
That brick does not have 18 points of float. Like, and then that's even if you're counting one of the heavies, which substantially weakens the brick. If you count one of the heavies as a float model that you can turn into something else, you're still down. You're still not able to get that much.
Yeah. Okay.
But... yeah, and then even in that scenario, I mean, if I'm only I don't know, if I'm only putting 10 models in a zone, like I mean,
there are scenarios where bricks are pretty good, like
destruction.
Yeah,
I was thinking process of elimination because those are two zones that are in the very middle of the table, 8 inches apart from each other. You can easily have, like, a brick contesting both zones.
Any of the scenarios that have just a single... There's a couple, like, at least two, maybe three, that have just a single 12-inch circle zone.
Yep.
There's chemical reaction that has the one... Like, there's a...
Say it right. If you're going to say chemical reaction.
Chemical reaction-y!
Thank you.
That has the one... There's actually a couple that have just
outflanked the circles. Aren't too far apart from one another.
Yeah, it's pushing.
That one,
aren't they like 6 inches apart?
Yeah, they are. But what I was going to say is 2013 may require, if you want to play a brick as one of your armies, that you examine your other list and make sure that it's not a skew list, that it's a list that can take on a wide variety of matchups, because... Now it's not just your opponent. When you're playing a brick, it's not just your opponent's lists that you influences your army choice, but also the scenario.
I mean, that's the situation that I have right now with my... And this is why I'm saying this. That's the exact situation I have right now with my WTC lists. And the reason I don't like it specifically is because my list decision is based more off of what scenario I'm playing than what my opponent's list actually is, and that sucks.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with Chad. I'm kind of with Chad at this point. Is I wouldn't put a list in my rotation, with the possible exception of in the WTC format, where there would where I'd run into scenarios where I didn't get a choice, basically.
Right.
So I would want both of my lists to be functional in every scenario.
Which just drastically reduces the possibility, or you know, the possible viable list builds, which I think is bad. I'm not a fan of that.
If that's your, I'm saying if that's your viewpoint, if your viewpoint is that it's completely unacceptable for me to have to pick a list based on scenario, I'm not sure it's completely unacceptable based on your secondary list. Don't do it.
Oh, dang it.
Okay, do it.
No. I'll wait. I'll hold.
What you doing?
I'm building a list.
A brick list?
I am.
Is it a P-Magic brick list?
It is.
Unacceptable!
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like there's definitely situations in this format where the brick is still plenty strong, and maybe that's my being on the other side and playing against a brick when there is exactly one scenario zone to score in. Like, that's...
They're like balls.
That's frustrating to play against, so... Like, there's... Maybe the disadvantage is too great to be locked into your all-comers list for some scenarios. Maybe it is. I don't know. But my opinion, having played across from you a couple times, is it's not that bad.
I mean, both of the times that we played, we had scenarios that I could play.
Right.
That I could choose.
And that's my point, is that over the course of the tournament, you will... have those scenarios.
And over the course of the tournament, you will also have scenarios that dictate that you play one list.
Right.
Where the opponent...
If your opponent can read that.
Where the opponent has a possible list pairing that screws that list that you want to pick.
Sure, that's why I'm
saying... Then you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I mean,
you're sacrificing being stronger in some scenarios for being weaker in others, potentially.
Unless you design your list differently.
Well, no, I mean, like, just that argument.
And that's sort of the point that we're making.
Is that the point that I'm making is if you... The scenarios, exactly. I think this is what you were about to say. But if the scenarios are dictating the kinds of lists that I have to build more than like the field or my play style or you know just whatever else, like I'm not a fan of that.
Hmm.
That's the point that I'm making.
I don't feel strongly about that one way or the other. I like the game to evolve and force me to think in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Restrictions breed creativity more so than unlimited freedom does in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that. As long as it doesn't stagnate, I'm okay with a year of, like, basic bricks are not as strong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me horrifically. Like, last year I was okay with a year of hooray for gun lines, like, because that's what it was.
Why was
Who did that?
Rhett that year? That would have been a good year.
Rhett does okay in their gun line versus gun lines.
All right, Chad, tell me what you think about this list.
Invictors, it's a list.
I'm sure
he's
going to tell me it's terrible.
No, he's going to say it's a list.
Why don't you read it off out loud as you read it?
Madrek, Ironhide, Thordwin, C, Rune, Trollkin, Runebear, Mulg the Ancient, Troll Axer, Earthborn, Dire Troll, Janissa, Gatorman Posse, Full, Gatorman Posse, Full, Creelstone, Max with UA. Yep. It is a list.
Yes.
I mean, I don't hate it, like, but I think that, like I said, that brick is significantly weakened.
It's still very bricky, because in a single scenario, you have two units of Gatorman Posse, which stack really well with Surefoot, right? Or is that faction only?
Factionally.
That's still... Gatorman Posse are still really good in just by themselves in front of that brick, and if they have to range out, they can, and they have more speed than your typical troll stuff does. So, I don't know.
What was that one WTC list?
So they
did that have...
I mean, maybe you're right. I don't know.
It's just a list I just threw together just now. Seems like it would be okay.
Modularity is something that is particularly efficient to have in your list this year. Elements of your army that can operate independently if necessary. And if they contribute to the greater whole of the list, that's... ideal, but what you're looking for in a lot of these lists is independent activations, especially if that can be a significant portion of your army that plays well together.
Crump screwed it up.
Ah.
I'll fix it.
Anywho, just something I just threw together just now thinking about it. There's some other things, too, in 2013 that you can think about. I was thinking about this from a Minions perspective because I've been dojoing Minion lists, and I kind of think in 2013 that Bogtrogs, like a Min unit of Bogtrogs, actually, and I'm not taking full credit for this because I've been talking with Arla Haran about it, or Ricard, but a minimum unit of Bogtrogs is actually pretty strong in 2013 because some of the wide-ranging scenario zones force you to range out, which gives them charge targets and ambushing. Mm-hmm. They also allow you to bring something into contest, like behind the front lines, so to speak. So if you like just run into the back of a zone after they've gone past their zone and force them to turn around and deal with them, like it's kind of a big deal. It actually might buy you two turns of contesting. And then there's probably going to be juicy things for them to charge. And that's a 5-point module that is just very good in 2013. And a lot of other factions can actually take advantage of that, I feel like. I know in like 2010, I would use Anastasia Debray to just come on and run and contest, like in the back corner of a zone or something, and just be generally annoying because she's stealth and def 16 and, yep, you know, pretty hard to stop. So so that's a consideration, I think. What I've seen, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I've seen a big resurgence of Epic Denegra. She was gone. Like, she was not anywhere last year.
But not really. Yeah.
I mean, Carnage maybe played her?
He was playing Scorn last year.
Okay. So, yeah, I definitely didn't see her last year then. And now I'm seeing more and more of her.
She's back.
I'm not happy about that.
I don't want to toot our own horns. Toot. But ever since we started talking about things this year,
toot.
Starting to sing. Yes, I love doing that. See a increased play of models that we're talking about, particularly Zealots. I'm blaming you for that.
I mean, you're a jerk. I think that's just something that a conclusion that you'll come to for playing 2013. Like, Denegra is an obvious conclusion to come to, I feel like. And a lot of people probably came to that on their own.
Yeah, that's confirmation bias. Is that right?
Yeah, I was going to say there's a phenomena about this. Like, every time when I learn a new word, I hear it. And there's a phenomena that is a psychological thing.
Anana.
A what?
Phenomena.
Anana.
Oh, damn.
So, other things that I think are better in 2013... that sort of help you deal with jams or things that are off the board and come onto the board. So things like Helldivers and Burrowers both can be pretty effective.
Burrowers are a nightmare. A nightmare.
As long as they're not scared.
No. Yeah. Nightmare. So you kind of need to toughen them up, I think. Make them undead and tough, then they're not scared.
It's too bad they can't take the Witch Doc Croc. Oh, they can.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, they can.
Yes, they can.
Oh my god!
That gets to be kind of an expensive module, though, because are they 4/6?
4/6.
So 9 points. It's not terrible.
And you need a Fellcaller.
The Witch Drop
12
also does have effects.
They will earn 12 points over the course of a game.
Yeah, they should.
Oh my god! I just want to point out, being undead is really, really fair.
No.
Has Fox learned against me last night when I made my blood trackers undead? So Tartars could not convert them into Banes, and also so Derek Wraiths beyond death could suck it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. So things like Denegra locking you out, at least Burrowers can come up and get into the zone, which is pretty cool, and stop you from auto-losing.
I actually did that last weekend at Recruits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a strong play. And then
I had to have, there was one turn where Dave had like 13 or 14 Bane Knights in between me and a zone, and I was like, well, the Burrowers, I had 7 Burrowers burrow, and then moved the token pretty much into that zone, and it's like, all right, I just need to find a way of stalling for one turn.
Yeah.
And then when I pop up the next turn, they'll basically be...
They're def 13, right?
They are.
Yes.
And they're tough. I mean, they're kind of annoying to deal with. Like, I found that killing them is way harder than it should be on occasion.
As long as you don't have Terror or Abomination.
Yeah. The command is not good. That's true.
Burrowers are 6 points that you can kind of, even by themselves, you can just sort of, you can jam them into pretty much any troll list and be like, for the purpose of contesting.
I've thought about that.
There will be burrowers.
Yeah. I thought about that too. I've got a gristle, I've got an epic gristle list on the burner right now, or it's cooking in the oven, you know? And one of the ideas of it is for just the burrowers to burrow first turn and then pop up and then with dash, not even like fel calling them for attacking or whatever, just having them run. And just run with dash, so, you know, speed 7, 14-inch run, ignoring free strikes. So just, like, get all up and everything while warders are running to follow them. I mean, I used to have a Borka list that I was trying out for a while where the burrowers would pop up and then run to engage your army, and then he would cast Iron Flesh on them.
Yep.
Yeah, don't do that.
This is annoying. And then they go under again.
Yeah.
When the other stuff comes in, and then they come back up.
In the back, and then they can actually start hitting stuff without fel calling. Yeah, yeah, it's not, it's, I mean, in a lot of fact, like, Helldivers, you said, are a good one for that, too. Not a lot of factions have models like that.
Yeah.
But.
Another troll model that I thought of, because we've been talking about 2013 and how it's been frustrating you, so I've just been kind of not putting a lot of thought into it, but I'm like, what other things would be good in trolls to help address their speed issue? Because the biggest issue they have with 2013 is they're a little bit slower than some of the other factions. Scouts actually might be pretty decent in that they advance deploy.
Speed 6.
Yeah, and they have a decent speed stat, and they're pretty self-sufficient too, so they can also range if you need them to. They don't need a lot of support to do what they do.
Stand up to a lot of punishment is my only issue with them. I would say the Totem Hunter is an underutilized piece, particularly effective in this year's.
He is also in one of these lists that I'm cooking. This is the thing, yeah. Because, I mean, he's, like, I've actually been regretting not taking him in more of my lists. He's just sort of a good staple for all of Hordes, I think, that they don't, we don't. Hordes don't really use him anymore.
It's like the Kel Balok effect. It's a piece that will most often make back its value and takes a good deal of focus to get rid of.
I think it's just it's something I've noticed throughout the game is rarely do 3-point solos make it into lists.
Yeah, it can be tough, but he does what John was talking about with Anastasia Debray. He does that ratcheted up even further because he'll move up, jump, kill something, and sprint to like the back corner of a zone.
Yeah, behind a wall or out of line of sight, and just be like, how am I going to get rid of this guy?
I'm stealthy, and relatively, I've got decent armor and lots of boxes, and I'm in your zone.
He's like 14,
and behind
15.
Your stuff.
Does not die to anyone's blast damage, except for Menoth.
He's like 14, 15, I think, with 8 HP and stealth, so he's not easy to kill.
I love Roven Sight. Solve so many problems like that. Tartarus, Lord of the Feast, Totem Hunters.
I mean, that's you're probably right. Like, there's probably like a facet of list building that I haven't been taking into account. You know, for SR 2013.
Well, I just think
gameplay, like in general, but
a common factor I see in your lists is that everything is part of the greater whole, and that's kind of a problem.
Hi, I'm Chad. I play trolls. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I want to see you playing more Jarl.
And that can run you into trouble in this particular scenario packet, which is probably part of the reason you're not a big fan of it.
Yep.
I mean, and I think just sort of what we were talking about here, like in list design and in your game plan, you just need to think about it a little. Like, my lists are so different this year than they were last year because stand and shoot in the back of a zone does not work. And that's all I did last year. Toe in!
Something that has...
I'm contesting. Can you see this? I've got a sliver of my base in the back of this zone, and now I'm shooting you again. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Something that, when I started playing Red, I had a realization that I was just like, And I was talking to, like, Sam Grubb and Modesto and Bergs and a couple other people about this, and I'm like, here's the list that I'm going to play. And they were like, how in the world are you possibly going to beat Epic Loth? And I was like, I don't plan to. SR 2013 did that for me. I have not seen any Elilith players at, like, the high... This is me personally. There are, like, seldom Elilith players in tournaments anymore.
I'm not going to credit 100% to 2013. I will give Jake 33% of the credit.
That's fair.
For not playing her, either.
And for guilting everybody that wants to play her into not... I was going to play her, and then Jake was like... Do you remember that time on the podcast and you said, I'm coming across the table? He said, I'm going to make a shirt that says, I'm coming across the table. I'm playing Elilith. My name is Fat Asian. I'm an asshole.
I mean, she...
Yep.
I have not seen her at all, and so I just, like, she is a big problem for Retribution, and so I was just like, eh, screw it.
I agree with you. Dodger. She has not, I mean, I see Epic Veil. Like, Epic Veil is everywhere, and then I see a lot of Saren. Those are the two I see the most of, and it's confirmed by the WTC.
Oh, God.
One Epic Lilith I've seen this year. I've played against her a grand total of un tiempo.
Yeah.
I've not seen her.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just like, I'm an Amret.
I've played her once this year.
Was that near the beginning of the year, though?
No, it was at DICON. I played her with Kreos, which is pretty good matchup.
I've played more Gortons this year than I
sure, it's not just
you. Gorton's unstoppable.
It's 100% just me.
There is 100%
guy is everywhere.
It was funny before Recruits, he was talking about, like, I've only played Gorton one time in every tournament that I've ever played, and then we got matched up, naturally.
And I was like, playing Gorton, huh? And he was like, we'll find out.
Like, very cool.
I was like, you're playing Gorton.
I don't like, why do more Merc players not play Gorton?
He's four. The reason, it's the same reason that Keith has never played him as a Merc player. He's speed four, and he has a 10-inch control.
Isn't it also that there just aren't that many mercenary players that show up to tournaments? So, like, when we do see them.
I mean, probably.
When we do see them, the likelihood of them, like, one, the likelihood of them, they're like unicorns, the likelihood of them being at the tournament, and then also the likelihood that one of their casters is Gorton.
I also feel like there is a greater percentage of people that play mercenaries at tournaments that do so less competitively than the percentage of players in other factions, right?
Sure.
So,
well,
they're looking more to, like...
I'm not sure I'd say that's true.
I don't know that. It's just...
Most of those casual mercenary players don't even play in tournaments.
There's a much smaller sample size.
Yeah, there's a smaller sample size. But I feel like there's a decent number of Merc players that are just like, I'm just going to play whatever caster... Like, all the Merc casters are fine.
Like, so Fiona the Black.
Like,
only idiots do that.
She's not unplayable, and I never said she was unplayable. She's just one of the two worst casters in mercenaries.
Listen to him backpedal, Rob.
No, yep.
You got him.
You got him on the
exactly
run.
What I said. It's exactly what I said on the podcast. We discussed it, and I'm happy to continue to discuss her.
Lance. Protect my nuts.
Hold on, Lance. If you could just cut in exactly what he said, that would be great. Right?
That's fine, because that's what I said. She's one of the two worst casters in mercs. So I actually think she has no tool to deal with armor. She has no tool to deal with high defense. So she doesn't handle either of the spam lists, period. She's like, I need to take something to help me with this. And if my caster can't help me with high defense or with armor, why am I playing that caster? That's why I dislike her, and that's why I think she is the worst caster in the game, in Mercenaries. And I would probably play P-Magnus before I play Fiona.
P-Magnus...
Well, it's her and Ashlyn. Anyway.
Pete Magnus is at least resourceful.
Yeah, that's true. Do you guys have any other thoughts on 2013? I mean...
Probably rambling and incoherent ones.
I mean, I know it's been really good for Cricks because it really supports their playstyle. I feel like...
It's been really good for Boomhouse.
What was the original frame of the discussion?
It was just, how have we seen the meta adjust? How have we seen lists adjust? What do you need to do to deal with some of the new tech that's coming out? Like, for example, how do you deal with Epic Denegra in 2013? Because you have to have a plan for her, or else you will just lose. You will just lose on scenario.
My plan is to lose.
You will be successful.
Like burrowers, like Totem Hunter, those things that you can't stop are really good for her. The pieces that can sit way off to the side and still make it into a zone.
Ambushing stuff.
Yep. A lot of times with the Negra, it's like, all right, I'm going to be down 3 control points. Can I still play from there?
Yeah.
Your whole plan is to not be down 5 control points. Just to let him have 3.
You can't ever see the control point in an Negra.
No, don't killbox yourself.
Yeah.
the game.
It is actually just killbox from last year. Yeah. You're just auto-lose.
It's old school killbox against the enemy, pretty much.
You can seed control points on occasion against certain casters. She's not one. Her and Lich both, you cannot seed a control point to. I wouldn't.
You can, but you're in the...
It's weird.
I'm not sure that Lich...
It's weird because SR 2013 has seen simultaneously more defensive and more offensive play. It's like more defensive, but also more jam. It's like you get your initial jam off, and then you play hyper defensively.
Yeah. You know, but you need some really defensive pieces to hold zones. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you get, like, it's like once you've got your jam set up,
mm-hmm.
and then that's kind of why I like this gristle list that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got your jam set up, and then you play really defensively after you've gotten ahead. Like, you just get ahead somehow,
mm-hmm.
have a jam that won't disintegrate in one turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play the advantage from there on out. Because you can usually just sit back and dominate from far away with anything. And then if they send... And you have whatever parts of your army that can actually do work sitting near enough that if they try and, like, actually contest your side of the table, that you just kill them. And that's not my favorite kind of war machine, because I feel like it's a lot... I feel like it's sort of skirting the game. But, I mean, I'm editorializing over here, so which is not... actually part of the scope of our discussion, I don't think. Like, we were just saying, like, what do we see? So, but that's what I've been seeing a lot, is, like, you've got your jam, and, I mean, that's kind of what your Denegra list, like, you seed, like, 8 points out of your list.
Yeah.
To just win.
Yep. Just give them up. There's tens of Texas Raiders. Eat them. I don't care. Just don't move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of the times, just the fact of trying to kill, like, them trying to kill them causes them to not move forward. But even if they wanted to move forward, you've got 10 Cystixis Raiders there. So, like, a lot of times they just can't move forward that time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
that's the exact trap I fell into in my round 3 at Recruits this last weekend, was having Cystixis Raiders run up. Having Cystixis Raiders run up on me.
What is it with you and phones?
What are you talking about?
But... So once he does that, though, then it's not like Denegra is just, like, constantly, like, pushing the, like, you're not, like, constantly, like, pushing the envelope.
Right.
Like, you jam up there, and then you're like, sweet, now I'll pop my feet and go incorporeal and be as safe as I possibly can be. And then what do you do after that? You run away, I'm guessing.
Yeah, pretty much. I come back to the safest area I can score, unless right. I can just win the next turn.
Right.
Oftentimes there's an all-in gambit to win the next turn.
Which includes her charging and banishing something.
Charge, banish something away. Like, yeah.
So you're talking specifically about the play with the Warcasters, right? Because it's not like the rest of the army sets up. Mm. Like, you jam, but then you jam so that you can set the rest of your army into the zones where you score.
You jam with waves, but then you usually keep, you know, your work pieces, like, back far enough that, like, you're never going to ever put those guys in danger.
Sure.
But you have a larger percentage of your army that you just throw into danger just for the sole purpose of trying to get ahead.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a lot to compare it to based on, like, this is the only year of Steamroller that I've ever
this
played.
This is the
right.
first
yeah.
and best
well,
and only.
I mean, last year, and there was, like, there have been complaints for Steamroller every year. There's never been a perfect Steamroller packet, and they usually do a really, really, really good job. Mm-hmm. And even this year has been good. Like, I mean, as much as I'm complaining. Yeah. But, like...
Last year was sandpapering. It was just
last year
sandpapering.
Last year, scoring a control point was rare. Like, you usually just...
Which is why it was 3 to win, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it varied on scenario, didn't it?
Oh, did it?
Some of them was 2 to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sacrifice
it,
was
it
2
actually
to win.
Did vary on
Sacrifice
was
2
Yes, it varied on scenario, because I remember coming to this year and being like, how many is it for this one? 5. Next one? 5. 5.
That's
5.
Right.
5. And I was like, Hacksaw, you're a genius. And then, like, people at the beginning were like, how many points is this? I'm like, it's 5. They're all 5. It's 5.
There was...
Five.
Sacrifice last year was 2 to win.
Yeah.
But you can only score on your own turn.
And you had to take
well,
like a pow 20,
no
right?
Thing.
Yeah, you had to take like a pow 20 or something.
Yeah, a model had to take a pow 20.
You sacrificed a piece.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, I'm sure you were really, really broken up by all your Mechanithralls dying.
You honestly didn't win that often on scenario.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Dice down. But...
So...
You usually didn't score.
Yeah, what I typically did...
It was usually points.
Was I ran my army into the zone, and then I backed... Well, I moved into the zone, and I shot... And then I backed up to the very edge of the zone, and I shot. And then, you know, usually I shot on the when I was moving to the zone, too. So, like, I got, like, 3 turns of shooting before anything happened and 3 turns of blowing stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
It was usually, like, a dead heavy and 2 dead units. And then by the time my opponent got there, I was like, oh, I guess we'll engage with the jacks now and just smash everything.
Mm.
So shave off 5 points. Shave off 6 points. Shave off 8 points. All right, let's play.
Much like what's about to happen with John's hair.
Nice.
Except it's going to be 50 points.
Boosh.
I'm going to look good.
That's one interpretation.
Carl just shaking his head.
Even Roxy.
So I don't know that I have anything else to really contribute, though, but hope that might.
I know I've really enjoyed this year of Steamroller 2013, and I've really enjoyed being able to play for Scenario.
It's much better than Magic the Gathering.
It is much better than Magic the Gathering.
Honestly, we...
It's much better than playing with no Scenario at all.
I did play in... I played in a 40K league where Dave... booted up Steamroller Scenarios like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
40K was actually really fun with Steamroller Scenarios. It blew all the 40K players' minds. Like, all the War Machine players are just kicking the crap out of them because they were like, wait a minute, what?
You just put your models in the zones. I have to move
my models?
whoa.
What? My seven tanks can't sit here and roll a bucket of dice versus your seven tanks over there?
I just got this guy balanced up on this giant piece
came
of
to roll dice. I need that t-shirt.
I want to go to like one 40K tournament and to actually just show up with a literal bucket full of dice and just pour them on the table around.
Honestly, War Machine would not be a good game without Scenario.
No, I agree.
Is why 40K sucks so much.
I played one time without Scenario and it was a miserable game.
You're like, nope.
I was just like,
Karchev's running around with like just bombing you. I've played that game.
The Karchev bombs you game.
Seriously, with no Scenario, he just runs every turn and shoots at you with bombards.
Yeah.
You can't catch him because his jack's back up 10 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds miserable. Yeah, I actually played against Borka without a Scenario. That was...
At least Borka comes to the middle.
Yeah, but it was objective kill Borka. that's a sweet game for me.
Well, you awesome. At least get to feel like you're trying.
Yeah.
Dude, you just kill everything else in the one-on Scenario. Oh.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun against teleport guys.
It's like a video game. You got, you know, like mission objectives in video games. And, like, Damiano's, like, looking at his, like, he, like, gets his... Someone, like, runs up to the field, hands him an envelope, like, here's the mission, sir. He's like, all right, let's see this. He opens it up. Oh, that's BS.
Yep.
Nope. Just ruffles it up and throws it down.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All right, Chad, you'd mentioned that you've been cooking something.
Hold on.
Do we have time?
And now we don't have time.
We are now out of time. Thank you, Chicken.
We have time to do some dojo. Plus, I think people enjoy dojo.
Mm.
Now I want.
It's up to you, John. You got some work.
So I know. We'll I got time.
Papa's chicken is.
I've been working. Well, you guys got to keep stalling while War Room opens.
That's why I already had War Room open for mine.
I've been working.
Maybe you should go.
On the.
I gotta get my phone.
The railroad. No, we don't have time for both. Oh God.
We don't have time for both.
I just didn't want to listen.
No, I've been cooking up a pea gristle list ever since the Warders came out. I'm like, because, you know, that's the first thing everyone thought of. It was like, oh, they have to be money with gristle. And I'm like, well, you know, the best thing about them is that you can take two of them, and they're cheap as hell. So put two of them in. And I played a couple games with that, and I was like, this is not as good as I thought it would be, because you can only hoof it one of them a turn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pop my feet first turn, just so I'm at a reasonable pace up the table. So I came to the conclusion that putting just one unit with her is probably the correct choice for me anyway. And then you still get the other... Like, I still get another unit. I got the War Room open up, so I'll read it.
Ta-da!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here.
Still loading, actually. Okay. Gristle, Bloodsong. So here's... My battle group is Gristle, Bloodsong, Storm Troll, Pyre Troll. Very, very bare bones battle group, but functional.
It works for her.
I love the Storm Troll.
The rest of the list is Chronicler, Champion Hero, Kithkar, full Creel Stones with UA, five Warders, Max Champions with Scaldi, and then Fenblades with UA. So three units, Fenblades, Champions, and Warders, two Kithkars to back up the Fenblades and give them Tactician. And then Chronicler to, you know, help out and do whatever he needs to do. And Champions.
Is Tactician any advance or just normal? movement.
It's everything. It's, they just ignore line of sight and
so you can hover it through
and each other. Yeah,
I really appreciate the how all of that list does work. I mean, that's a common theme with trolls, but every once in a while you see a little too much support, and pretty much all of that list, saving early game Creelstone and the Chronicler, is there to kill stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I appreciate. Watching it played with the Fenblades sort of clouding in the middle, flanked on either side by champions and warders with the Kithkars moving through the center area, it looked nice too.
Kithkars are hard to kill.
They're just hard, actually.
They're both
in the pants.
Oh, they have that. They have that rule.
Yeah, they do. Hard. It's the hard
anyway,
rule.
Oh, you guys made fun of me earlier for making the gauge.
I was especially happy with the way the Kithkars performed. I mean, I didn't have the best army to go up. I was playing against Josh's Gorton list, so it was Kyazis.
With an Earthbreaker.
The Earthbreaker!
So I didn't have the best targets for them to go up against, but they were still, you know, getting three chances to try and kill a Kyazi a turn between Righteous Vengeance and then their activation two attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then late game, I was able to actually get, I did get this is one of my lucky nines that I rolled, and I didn't get that many throughout the course of the game, but...
No, I actually think you probably killed fewer than you should have over the course of the game.
Right, yeah. I agree. But this was one of the times that it actually worked out for me. I got a Righteous Vengeance move, killed a Kyazi that was engaging the Kithkar, and then it activated and killed Gorman and Ragman.
That's a good turn.
Oh,
so it killed 5 points of models in that one turn as a two-point model.
You know what couldn't do that? A Skinner.
True.
Unless it's 100% true.
Unless it killed a light war beast.
Yeah, unless it charges a light war beast and rolls
bonkers.
6, 6, 6, 6, 6. So that was really fun. And then they were even alive by the end of the game. Like, you never killed them.
No, I didn't.
Like, they were alive all game long. And yep. Armor 19 was 8 boxes.
I mean, like, that's the core of that list. Like, you take out the Fenblade. Like, the Fenblades are your screen, obviously.
They're the jam.
Yeah, they're your jam. But that core, like, that Warder, Kithkars, and Champions, when Gristle's like, you guys can't charge. Like, good luck. Good luck killing them. It is not easy.
Or
that's
how
what
about
I liked about it is, like, even my other Gristle list with the Long Riders, if you do get a jack, if they do manage to get a jack in there, it will kill.
Right.
It will definitely kill them.
Yeah.
But if you can send in a couple jacks against the Warders and the Kithkar and probably still not kill.
Yeah.
Or the Warders and the Champions and probably still not kill enough of them. And then between her ability to give Champions extra attacks, like two Champions. I mean, basically one Champion can solo a Heavy.
Yep.
If it's got three attacks and a damage buff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, even if there's only two or three champions alive, like, I can probably trade up way above my value. Mm. You know, if you put in two heavies to try and kill my warders, and then the champions come at you with an extra attack and damage buffs, like, I feel like I'd come way ahead in that trade, especially since warders are pretty cheap.
Also, the feat turn makes my head hurt with that list.
Yep.
Two attacks on all of that reach stuff.
And then walk forward.
And jam even more.
Yep.
And you can't charge me.
It's really good.
Spells are...
It's quite strong. I mean, Gristle is just... I mean, we know Gristle's...
I mean, she's really good, yeah. But I mean...
But that list is... It's hard. Like, it... My list, I think, as well that I played against it, is well suited to taking on that list, and it's still... Like, I had to assassinate him at the end. He was going to win on scenario otherwise, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's...
I was really, really happy with the way that it... I mean, I thought about it a while ago, and I hadn't gotten the chance to put it down yet. And after a weekend of playing my WTC lists, I felt like it was probably, like, a good opportunity for me to do something else. A
little palate cleanser?
Yeah. Mm. And I dropped it down. I dropped it yesterday, and it was just... It worked exactly like the way I wanted it to. I mean, it was just... It was really fun. It was awesome. And then, also, the other thing that's interesting about that list is there's no Janissa.
Yeah.
I actually
didn't even think about that during the course of the game, but that's big for Gristle, actually.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when you've got champions and warders to hide behind, like, I feel like I don't really need it that bad.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I mean, the biggest thing, and that's something that Keith mentioned yesterday, is, like, I have to be able to watch out for people that can scalpel out my war beasts.
Right.
And if that can happen, then I can be in trouble. But, as long as I don't let that happen, you know, she's still decently safe if she camps. Because she can camp three a turn.
And she doesn't... With this list, because Warders and Champions are already great, like, Calamity is a plus, not, like, a necessity for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can just throw out a Pyre Troll buff or whatnot, that's mm-hmm. usually going to be good enough.
Yeah, so. That's what killed me, is I ended up casting Calamity on Snapjaw to kill him. And then after the game was over, I was like, I didn't need to cast Calamity mm-hmm. on him. I could have just, for the same amount of fury, cast two Pyre Troll Animi and gotten the exact same effect.
And stayed far enough back that I couldn't
mm-hmm.
kill you.
And also had not had a chance to miss.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I was very happy with the way that it came together. So.
You know how I can tell that you really like that list? You lost, you still love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He actually,
that's a strong endorsement.
He lost, and he was still smiling at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's super weird.
Like, he was having fun.
That
he,
never happens. Yeah.
Well, you were really unhappy with how hard the Warders were to kill, and that just made me...
I was extremely happy with the Warders and the Kithgars.
Warmed me.
Sour Josh tears are so... So good.
It was actually the Storm Troll was like a big heavy lifter in that game too, because it was the only way that I could kill the Kyazes. Mm-hmm. I think out of the 10, out of the 11 or 15 Kyazes actually, even because of the two Eliminators, mm-hmm. the two units of Eliminators.
The Pyre Troll killed the Underboss after many feet by causing him to burn, and I'm pretty sure the Storm Troll, either his Animus or his gun, killed probably like 6 or 7 other Kyazes.
Oh, no, easily more. He killed 3 Eliminators, or he killed 2 Eliminators on his first shot.
Oh, yeah, well, the Eliminators as well, yeah.
And his then, Animus accounted for a third that same turn.
Mm-hmm. And then his gun probably, I think his gun killed like 8. I mean, I only killed like I said, I probably should have been killing more with my just
7. You just couldn't roll your 10s or 11s, yeah.
It was actually 10s or 9s.
Right, sure.
And I had a ton of attacks at it, too, because her feet turn, you know, every army gets to attack twice, and... But I was not rolling as much. I mean, 9s are rare, you know. But if I'm rolling 10 attacks, I should probably kill two.
Yeah.
But I didn't. You know, I wasn't getting it. So the Pyre Troll ended, like, or the Storm Troll actually ended up killing like probably 8, mm-hmm. 8 or 9 over the course of the game.
That's what's really cool about that battle group is you can take armor or high defense. It like fixes both mm-hmm. with just that little battle group. Just a few lights.
What was it? Pyre Troll, the Electric, and then what else?
That's Pyre Troll, Storm Troll.
That's it.
Pyre Troll, Storm Troll.
Yep.
It was very. Very.
Yep.
I would play the heck out of the pyre or the Storm Troll.
Yeah, and periodically, you can get in situations where if you get jammed up, you're just like run to engage with Storm Troll and charge of the trolls.
True.
Bum, bum, bum. Also,
charge of the trolls plus the warders is, or even champions, especially if you give them 3 attacks.
Here come the power 11, 12, 15, 14, 16.
16
champions.
Heroes Tragedy on...
Yeah.
18 if I Calamity.
Heroes Tragedy on Fenblades that have jammed you up is awful also. You're just like, I gotta kill these guys, and then all my guys fall over.
The way I see the list usually playing out is I probably hoof it the Warder's first turn, so then I get 12-inch forward Fenblades, 12-inch forward Warder's, and then 10-inch forward Champions. And then if they didn't jam me, if they didn't counter jam me, then the next turn I either feet or I hoof at the Fenblades, and then they mini feet charge, and then they are like all up in your just all over your face.
You've like, just set the line of engagement, so that
the
gives you a big scenario advantage.
Run obviously behind them, and so everything falls sort of in place, like in this line of waves after the Fenblades, but.
I like that list in SR 2013 a lot.
Yeah, I think it's stronger than anything I'm playing right now, unfortunately. But that's my dojo. I had a lot of fun playing it, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. And I don't think the list can be... I don't think that I can really tweak it a lot, but I'm not sure that it really needs a lot of tweaking after I played it. I don't know. I might have to play it some more and see how it...
I like it.
It turns out.
I like that there's no Janissa in it after Keith and I have been told, and you put a line of champions in front of her... Seem to remember us having that discussion.
I'm not taking credit for that.
For a
year. I don't remember him saying that.
I said that. Because remember you said you had to...
I think I remember saying that.
No, I definitely said that because we talked about you having to have Janissa in like all of your lists. And I said, I feel like you could put her behind champions and be fine.
I remember Chad trying that a few times and it not always working out great. Sometimes working out fine.
No, I remember talking about that because I was like, she's
so you stole the idea from me.
What?
Wow.
No, all right, never mind. It was your idea.
Great job, Chad.
I'm going to give you at least partial credit, actually a significant amount of credit for my dojo list, if we got time to do my dojo list.
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
Okay. So my dojo is Damiano, and it stems from a combination of things. First, it's John had a Damiano list with a bunch of like Chiazzi and whatnot in it that we talked about, because obviously with his feet and maybe like I don't know, going plus five strength on Chiazzi is dumb. They'll kill anything. Everything erupts when they touch it. So it's based off of that, but I've also got Gaston in here, so this is Damiano and all the assassins. Gaston. It's Damiano with Wishnailer and Rockinanny, and then Piper. Gaston with a Vanguard, Kel Balok, Ayana and Holt, Tactical Arcanus Corps, and then my beloved Crow's Cutthroats.
I played against this list.
A full unit of Assassins with the Underboss, and then two units of Eliminators. So Damiano fixes everything, and he actually fixes Cutthroats. Like, Deadeye is a significant... Like,
yeah.
Like,
yep. Rat 5 doesn't matter too much anymore. So now you've got boosted to hit, boosted damage. Like,
did Master Gunner make it in?
No,
he didn't. He didn't. I would like to get him in, but points are kind of tight. Maybe cutting Rothanante for that is reasonable.
So... unlike most of your lists that involve Damiano, where you're casting two Deadeyes a turn,
this list casts one Deadeye. Yeah.
So potentially cut Silas?
Potentially, although the range 8 to get out to where the Cutthroats are is potentially important. But Silas could also potentially be cut for... he should actually probably be in here.
Dougal.
I'm just thinking about
you charging with those Cutthroats on the feet turn.
Yeah. So,
oh god,
Death March is actually amazing. Death March is amazing for both Cutthroats and for
Chiazzis
because
making
Cutthroats mat 8 is great, and what? Making Chiazzis like get a vengeance move is like their biggest drawback is their speed.
Like Keith tell you about. Vengeancing with stuff that doesn't give two craps about free strikes.
It's good.
I was just thinking, yeah. Vengeancing Chiazzi actually sounds like a straight freaking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yep. I played it.
It's awesome. It's
fun.
Especially the tough no knockdown Chiazzi.
With Ayana and Holt and are they feet turn, Eliminators, sure combo strike at POW 20.
oh, God, yeah.
That was me blowing my own brains out.
Also, they're def 18.
Also,
where's melee attacks?
On feet turn?
No, with Surefoot.
Oh, yeah. Surefoot
yeah. also stacks.
Oh, yeah, that was. I played this list against Nate with. It's like just. And, you know, Kador doesn't really have a lot of mat fixers, and it was just like, good luck hitting my guys. Like, they just walked straight through his lines over and over and over. He was.
I would love to have watched that.
He was tilting super hard.
He hates it when
like
other
like it when no. other people's Chiazzi are better than his.
Yeah. Everyone's Chiazzis are better than his.
No,
Iron Flesh Chiazzis.
Not normally. In most lists, they're not better.
But the
in this list, they probably are though.
The other
Gortons to the immunity to blast damage.
Yeah. The other sort of sweet little side package on this list is that the. Collection of characters between Balok, Holt, Gaston, and Damiano's own hand cannon is a ton of like that's
super
seven
accurate.
Like pretty highly accurate good POW like shots with good range that come from behind a tactical Arcanus Corps.
Also,
and that whole group can be under like Surefooted Vanguard and clouds from the Arcanus Corps and just really hard to get into and kill.
Actually just. Oh. I actually really want you to have Dougal now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do need Dougal on this list.
I feel like Damiano in this list will play farther forward than you're used to.
Mm.
Just due to.
Also, you can just Kador Arknode it and leave
one Cutthroat back.
I think one Cutthroat playing one Cutthroat back is worth having.
Well,
Dougal in your list.
I was feeling that the list would play more farther forward because most of your Damiano lists kind of have a, like, come into me. Like, I'm going to approach you while shooting you, and then you're going to eventually come into me, and then I'm going to feed. Whereas this one, there's the potential to stretch pretty far out there so you can play farther forward, which is fine because that guy's, like, def 19, armor 19 on no camp on his feet.
Yes.
And those...
with Rothanante.
Right.
Yeah.
Chiazzi, though, on feet turn.
Yeah. They murder the world.
They do.
Awesome.
No Alexia for this list.
So P. Alexia.
So sad.
She'd be quite good.
I actually want Steelhead Rifleman.
I mean, Like, P-Alexia is also a possibility if Rothanante becomes, like, a nomad and you get rid of Wishnailer or something like that.
I like Rothanante.
I do, too.
I would make that trade in a heartbeat. P-Alexia.
That list would get so much better when you put P-Alexia.
You've got Arcanist core, so you don't even need to worry about
fracking crazy.
No, he's not there for that.
Playing Tactical Arcanist.
Huh? No, I think this list definitely needs the Tactical Arcanist.
It says it's a point over.
It's because... it doesn't take into account the four points for a Vanguard instead of 5 points for a Vanguard.
Mm.
Yep.
I don't know. Damiano's fairly survivable.
Oh, the Arc Core are Gaston.
No, the P. Iris is Gaston.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Arcanist Core is an Arcanist Core.
I don't know why I'm commenting on this.
So, I like how you handle defensive upkeeps with this list, in that you just buff your mat. And
to
damage
where
output.
You don't care about it.
Yeah, so you're just like, oh, you have Defender's Ward. Cute.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So, and...
Dang.
The other thing is, I've played... It's not just in this list, but I played Gaston with a Vanguard and Damiano a couple times. And being able to just give the Vanguard 3 focus on feet turn, like between the feet... He goes POW 16, and then harm, POW 18, and he hits like a heavy with 3 focus.
I really like the way the command module... You were talking about earlier, the way the command module can work with this, because it's the... All the important pieces, it's the... Eventually will be Dougal and Kel Balok and Holt and Ayana and
Damiano and
Gaston hanging out behind these 3 clouds, and they're not benefiting from Surefoot, but they don't care because they're behind clouds. The 3 dwarves are benefiting from Surefoot and are in clouds and have options for shield guards.
Yep.
So their defense 15, armor 16 with a shield guard.
And 5 boxes
and
5
wounds.
Fire and so on and so forth.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And then in front of that is like some impossible to kill Kayazi. Yeah, it seems
I good. Like it.
Mm.
Yeah, it seems really good, actually.
Where my crow's at?
Yeah, it was... I wanted to play... Like, every time you take Damiano, you're just like, he's got Deadeye, so gun mages, so why would I ever not take Highborn? But I wanted... Like, Kayazi with Deathmarch seemed really, really awesome. So.
I played against the guy in Iowa City. I went over there, like, one time when my girlfriend was in college over there, and played against the... I was playing Circle at the time, and played against a Damiano list that had Deathmarching Kayazi in it. And I was not playing Kruger 1 or Cassius, so it was a bit of a problem.
Whoops.
I was like, rock hammer them, go!
That's the only thing I was thinking, I guess, is like if you go up against stealth units, then the crows are probably going to be a little sad.
That's true.
Gun mages would have
They're
been.
Not incompetent in melee. That's the thing that I think a lot of people forget about. I mean, they
like
start at...
Tens, right?
They're POW 8s, but they're poison.
Oh, okay.
So...
they're cross.
So they become POW 11 weapon masters on the charge.
They do. With under feet turn. And they can
POW 13 with harm.
Obviously, MAT 8 with Death March, if you want to. Like, Death March helps both of those units, and Deadeye helps the crows.
Do you still have your crows, John?
No, I gave them to Lance.
Damn it.
I'm getting kind of pre tilted just thinking about crows shooting with 3 dice and then rolling damage with 3 dice.
Yep.
On all of my infantry.
Yep.
Yep.
Dang it. Now I gotta buy crows.
Yeah, he doesn't care about crows.
Plus, you could have Crow himself shoot at their caster just for like.
Yeah. Yep, 3 dice to hit.
Decelerated.
No spells.
Dun dun dun.
Yes, I made a mistake in playing this list against
a decel Thunderhead.
Yes.
Insert. I'm pretty sure that folks at home
his,
can play this
yeah,
one out.
Yeah, yeah. His
See,
his
Thunderhead's got a pulse, and then all those models are just dead.
It was one of those. Yeah, it was one of those games where I was just like, I'm taking this list. I don't care what you take. Because I want to play it.
And then Keith was
a dick and took a Thunderhead.
I was taking a list, but I didn't care what you took.
Keith was like, I'm just taking this list. Yeah, I don't care what you take.
Tell me what you were taking. You're like, I'm playing some new Damiano list. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm playing this list that John and I dojoed on the way back from Gen Con.
Yeah.
With stupid Silverline Stormguard in it.
How was it?
His list, Thunderhead killed my list. And my list killed everything that wasn't Thunderhead or Thorn. Is kind of how. Or Haley.
Pretty much. Thunderhead was just like, wander over this way. Pulse on 8 crows. And he was like, wander back a bit and shoot Rosinante to death. And he's like, wander over this way and pulse on 8 Kayazi. Like, that was his game.
Yep.
Should maybe have killed him.
I tried. Most of my stuff died before they could get to where they could kill him.
God dang it. I like that list. Now I might be back at Mark's. I need to get Winter Crows, though, before I can get...
Yeah, naturally.
All right. So, are we done with Dojo?
Yeah.
We are out of time.
So. Yep. We'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Muse on Minis and want to remind you to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for more analysis and commentary from John, Keith, Chad, Crump, and the rest of the crew. For more Muse on Minis, visit us on Facebook or check us out on Twitter, at Muse on Minis. And don't forget, we're also at MuseOnMinis.com, with tons of great articles about the hobby we all love.
Bam. Thank you for joining us for episode 103 of Muse on Minis. I'm Keith.
John.
Crump.
Chad and Roxy. And Josh.